Hello and welcome to our CrossCast webinar series. My name is Katie Turner. I'm the Education and Programming Coordinator here at Crossman Digital. Today's topic is LTCI in Action, Breaking Down Case Studies Every Attorney Should Know, hosted by Jim Wolverton, our Director of Legal Education. First, we have a few housekeeping items. If you have any questions during today's webinar, go ahead and type those in the questions section of the GoToWebinar toolbar so we can answer them at the end of the presentation. Next, a copy of today's PowerPoint and a handout can be found in the handout section of the GoToWebinar toolbar. We also ask that you please complete the post-webinar survey that will pop up on your screens at the end of the presentation. And now, let's get to today's presentation. Jim, I'll turn it over to you.
Thanks so much, Katie. Welcome, everybody, to Long-Term Care Insurance in Action, Breaking Down Case Studies Every Attorney Should Know. We put this program together because I wanted to get attorneys situations that they're probably going to run into if you're doing estate planning or elder law. We took some very common fact patterns, very common clients that will come into your office. And what I wanted to do was get actual numbers and policy considerations so that when you're talking to a client, you have some actual numbers and an actual idea of what a long-term care insurance policy might cost that particular client. Because what we always hear as we've been rolling out more long-term care insurance content is attorneys will recommend long-term care insurance to their clients, and then they don't really ever hear back, or they'll make the referral, they don't really ever hear back whether or not that person moves forward with it purchasing the insurance. And what I would posit is that part of proactive planning, proactive Medicaid planning, using an irrevocable trust, or even doing estate planning, the attorney should stay involved with the client through the purchase of that policy, because that is going to be a crucial part of a lot of proactive plans when you're talking to clients. Yes, you can do the basic estate planning. You can even use a Medicaid Asset Protection Trust, but part of that plan, I believe, should be, let's look at long-term care insurance and let's look at what options are out there and then move forward in purchasing a policy. I think that that should be part of the retainer that the services that the client is getting from their estate planning or their elder law attorney when it comes to this kind of planning. But what we found is attorneys aren't comfortable with providing that type of direction to their clients. So over the course of this year and a little bit of last year, we've been trying to build up really some basic knowledge that you can then work with an agent locally, or you can use us. We're more than happy to work with you in getting a long-term care insurance policy in place for your clients, but giving you the knowledge that you can sit down and have those conversations with your clients and be able to read those quotes and those policies and make sure that you and your clients understand exactly what they're purchasing. So we've been developing this type of education on our online platform of attorney access. I did a basics course. We did one that went into licensing and the ethics of whether or not an attorney can also serve as an insurance agent on our platform. And then this is kind of the third in that series, whereas we're breaking down some case studies, because again, I wanted to get some actual numbers, some actual case studies in place for the attorneys. So that's where this came from. In the materials, there is a pamphlet that if you see us in an event, you can pick up at our table called Long-Term Care Insurance Case Study Guide. It's much prettier, but the same case studies are here in these slides that are also part of the material. So you're kind of getting it in two different formats. A little bit about Kraus Financial. For those of you that haven't used us in the past, we are an attorney-led firm that provide asset preservation solutions for estate planning and elder law attorneys and their clients. And those of you that have worked with Kraus in the past, we really made our name and 30 years of experience in crisis planning solutions. So Medicaid crisis planning solutions primarily being the Medicaid compliant annuity, funeral expense trust. And when I came on board about 2 years ago, it was also at a time when Kraus Financial was moving more into the long-term care insurance world. They had acquired a long-term care insurance brokerage with staff with decades-long experience in the field. And what we're doing now is trying to get that information and allow the attorneys to use that resource, again, because it fits in really well with the proactive side of things. How can we avoid our clients having to use those crisis planning tools? The best way to do it is getting a proactive plan in place, coupled with some insurance. So that's really where we're coming at with this type of education, with the long-term care insurance, specifically for attorneys. You don't have to know everything about long-term care insurance. That's what agents are for. If you do decide to get licensed, you'll go through a whole curriculum of courses that you'll learn all about long-term care insurance. But we want to get you enough information so when you're having those conversations with your clients, you're comfortable with that and you're comfortable bringing that up. So along those lines, what we want to accomplish here today is really define the different types of insurance. We'll do a high-level overview of the different types of long-term care insurance, and then we'll hop into some case studies. It really, like I said earlier, we took client type scenarios that you can kind of group your clients into as they come in to the office. Now, every client's unique. Every insurance policy is going to be different. They're all going to cost a little bit of, they're going to have some variance in the cost based on age, health, and things like that. But we did want to give you just a ballpark that you can work with when you're talking to clients, talking about long-term care insurance, and I'll introduce a different type of insurance called short-term care insurance as well. So we'll do an overarching kind of quick overview of the insurance options, and we'll hop into the case studies. We have six of those case studies that we'll go through today. So when we're looking at long-term care insurance, we want to kind of compare the different types of insurance that's available out there to folks that are looking for help or insuring their long-term care needs down the road. And the really cool part about long-term care insurance, and again, a lot of this I have learned in the process of getting myself licensed and putting these programs together, is that long-term care insurance outside of, you know, goes much further outside of what Medicaid provides. Usually when we're thinking about long-term care Medicaid, somebody needs to have that long-term care need that skilled nursing. And in with long-term care insurance, those policies can be triggered for different settings. It really is a much lower bar to be able to get those insurance policies triggered. So generally it requires the person to be chronically ill. And that is defined usually in most policies by two activities of daily living or cognitive impairment that lasts 90 days. And those impairments need to last at least 90 days. And then the insurance claim will kick in. But it doesn't have to be in a skilled nursing facility. You can receive the benefits from the insurance policy at home, in assisted living facilities, again, those nursing homes or for hospice care. And it's not limited to just the services that are being provided at the nursing home by the skilled nursing staff. It can also be respite for caregivers. So if you have a caregiver and they need a break, maybe they need a 4-hour break every other day, we can bring somebody in to help with that. Medical equipment, homemaker and chore services, those might fall to the wayside. Or if you have a single individual that just needs those types of services taken care of, adult daycare, home modifications. And if someone's not a Medicare age, these insurance policies can also provide hospice care. So it broadens out the type of care that the person can receive. And it also allows them to receive that in a setting that's not just the nursing home. So they are much better as far as services provided than just relying on Medicaid. Obviously, we have those home and community-based services that vary greatly from state to state that might provide some of this, but there's no guarantee that someone would qualify for those. Whereas if you have an insurance policy, now we're outside of public benefits and we're using private insurance money that we can control much better for what the type of services that we're receiving. And planning wise, we can tell the client, yeah, we have a funding source for your plan. And that's why I think when you're talking to your clients and you're adding in long-term care to the estate planning side of things, having an insurance component to it is going to be crucial for the success of that plan. So the different types of long-term care insurance, we're going to break these into two types, which is very general, and there's lots of nuance in between. But again, we're just doing really high-level stuff here today. We'll talk about traditional long-term care insurance. It's very similar to those types of insurance that we're all used to, our home or automobile insurance. When you pay your premiums, so long as the policy is still in effect, you make a claim, you'll get the insurance will cover the damages. Now, what a lot of attorneys will say to you that have had experience with long-term care insurance is, yeah, Jim, it's great. They get you in the door and then they jack up the price by raising the premiums. And that was very common for, and still is common for, policies that were written in the 90s and the early 2000s. But what we've seen recently is that the underwriting and the pricing have kind of leveled out. They've figured it out. And so those premiums, yes, they can be raised, but the company does have to go to the insurance commissioner and get the whole type of insurance raised at the same time through the state. They have to be approved. And if you look at a traditional long-term care insurance, when you're going to purchase that insurance, you're going through the application phase. There's a disclosure in most states that has to be made to show how often that type of policy has been raised. And I think on mine that I purchased, that type of policy hasn't been raised for about 15 years. So you can kind of see its stability. So these new insurance policies that are coming online haven't been raised at quite that same dynamic. And traditional policies, those are generally what are called reimbursement policies with daily and monthly limits for covered services. So once the services are provided, we know the cost, then those are reimbursed up to a specific amount, generally each month. And then another thing that attorneys have brought up to me that they hear from their clients is that, well, Jim, I don't like traditional long-term care insurance because it's a use it or lose it policy. And yes, that's true, but there are carriers that offer an option to add what's called a refund of premium. And depending on how that's written, obviously, in the insurance premium, that can allow a refund of premium once the policyholder has passed away and maybe they haven't used the full amount of their insurance policy. When that person passed away, they can name a beneficiary that some of those premiums do go over to that person. So it does offset that kind of use it or lose it component of those types of policies. One thing that traditional long-term care insurance has that hybrid policies don't have is the ability to comply with the state partnership policy rules. And the way that these work, they were put in place to incentivize people to purchase private insurance. And what it does is it allows folks that have traditional policies that comply with the state partnership rules, and they do vary a little state to state, have their Medicaid individual resource allowance raised up dollar for dollar for how much of that insurance policy that they used. So it can be used for the individual resource allowance or the community spouse resource allowance, dollar for dollar. So let's say in your state, the Medicaid individual resource allowance is $2,000. If they have a traditional policy of $100,000, they exhaust that policy. Well, now their individual resource allowance will be raised up to $102,000 of assets that they can keep and still qualify for Medicaid. Some states will use that same number for an exemption for a state recovery. That's much more varied state to state. So you definitely want to look and see exactly what your state has on the record for the state partnership policies. And most states have them, and you can see the exceptions there. But the policy requirements, again, from a broad brush perspective, has to be this traditional policy, have inflation protection brought into it and then issued after the state adopted the partnership program. But if a client already has a traditional policy in place, give us a call and we can work to update that policy so it complies with the state partnership rules if they think that they'll go on Medicaid after they exhaust their insurance monies. So another thing that attorneys always want to know is, what are the average costs of these policies? So we pulled these. This is from 2023, the Milliman Long-Term Care Insurance Survey. They do this every year. This is the most recent numbers I could find, is the average annual premium is about $3,600. The benefit period is usually for around 3 years, so 3 years of being on an insurance claim. And then the average monthly benefit is around $5,000 each month. So you have an annual premium of $3,600 with a monthly benefit of around $5,000 for 3 years. So you're getting a good return on that traditional policy. And then the average issue age, and this is really the sweet spot for underwriting, is between 55 and 64. So you want to look at having these conversations with your client maybe a little bit earlier than you would if you're just talking to them about elder law. But looking at those estate planning clients, and we'll talk a little bit about maybe a client scenario that would fit into this that are a little bit younger than you'd normally see. So that's kind of the story on traditional policies. Again, very high level, and we have a lot of resources on that on the Attorney Access platform. So the second type of long-term care insurance I want to talk about are the hybrid policies. And these are long-term care insurance policies that are kind of attached to a life insurance or an annuity contract that the owner can then tap into the benefits of those policies for a long-term care need that might come up. These may have a more streamlined or simplified underwriting process because they have a life insurance policy to back them. You still have to go through underwriting and make sure that you're approved for the long-term care portion of that policy. And those are usually issued as either an acceleration of death benefits rider, so you can access the death benefit of those policy, or with just a long-term care rider where you're preserving some of that death benefit no matter how much, or if you expend the total amount allowed through that long-term care rider. So there's a little bit of variation there. And again, we have some resources on those as well. The other type of insurance that was new to me as of about a year ago is something called short-term care insurance. And so this, instead of long-term care insurance, which usually covers 2, 3, 4, 5 years of benefits, is really limited to 1 year. So it really is a short-term care insurance. And this might come into play when maybe a client doesn't qualify for long-term care insurance. They can't get through underwriting. Let's look at short-term care insurance, and it might be an option. And the age is much higher for when it's available, and the premiums tend to be lower because there is that defined duration of the benefits. And the way that these work is these are indemnity policies that say once you've triggered and gone on claim, you'll get X amount of dollars per day for the type of care that you're receiving. And again, not available in all states, and you can see the states are excluded, limited to 1 year, very similar to the triggering with assistance of ADLs as well as cognitive impairment. Elimination periods isn't something we've talked about, but in most long-term care insurance policies, the situation has to be for at least 90 days. And then the person privately pays for that elimination period. And then once they've paid out that elimination period, which is usually 0, 30, 60, 90 days, then they can go on claim. And then the insurance company will start picking up the bill. With short-term care insurance, as you'd imagine, we can't have a really long elimination period when the benefits are only for 1 year. So those elimination periods tend to be shorter and the underwriting tends to be simplified because, again, we're not dealing with years and years of coverage. We're dealing with usually 1 year or less. Okay, so that's an introduction to the different types of insurance policies that we'll be talking about. Now let's hop into some of the case studies. So this first case study I've kind of put under the category of a single female case study. Now, insurance policies and costs vary based on health, based on gender, based on all sorts of different factors that go into it. So this would be a single female case study that we'll go through. So we have Patricia, who's 66. She's a widow and she has no children. So as part of her estate plan, upon her death, Patricia's assets will be donated to a charitable organization she's involved with. And she wants to make sure that this plan to give her money to the charity that she's involved with, that she's very dedicated to, doesn't get derailed by the cost of long-term care. And so she comes to you, the attorney, and says, hey, isn't there some insurance we can put in place to make sure that that doesn't happen? Because she's come to you, you've made sure that all the beneficiary statements, all of the beneficiaries on all of her trusts, all of her accounts and her will, and all of her estate planning documents are going to this charity. But what if she has to spend all her money at the nursing home? She wants a solution. She's heard about insurance. Let's talk about it. So what you'll do if you have a client that comes in like this and you're not working with a local broker is you can give us a call here at Crouse. Give me a call specifically and then get you in touch with our staff. And they'll take an intake sheet that has Patricia's information on it. And then they'll run some quotes for you. And then you can present those to the clients or we can work directly with the client and we can look at a couple different options. So with Patricia, we're going to look at a couple different options here and a couple different factors, and then we'll go through them together. So the first thing we'll look at is traditional long-term care insurance. So all she was concerned about was making sure that the money she set aside goes to her charity of choice, the group that she works with. So we'll run some quotes through a variety of different insurance carriers for traditional long-term care insurance. The use it or lose it, the be on policy, and then use it, very, very common to the insurance world, just like auto or home. And so what we look at here is her monthly benefit each month for traditional long-term care insurance policy is a monthly benefit of $4,500. The total benefit maximum that she'll be able to get out of this policy is $165,000. That elimination period that we talked about, where she'll have to privately pay before insurance kicked in is 90 days at a facility or immediately if she's getting home health care. So if she needs home health care, she doesn't have to pay privately for any of those days. We're going to add a 3% compound inflation rider on that. So the benefits will continue to grow as we know the cost of long-term care to continue to grow over the years. So we want to make sure that the benefits of this traditional policy are also growing, maybe not at the same rate, but at a rate that will increase those benefits. So if we take Patricia now, and she's 66, and let's assume at 80, she needs to use this policy. With that 3% compound inflation rider, now her monthly benefit has increased to $6,807, and her total maximum benefit at age 80 has increased to almost $250,000. So that's the traditional benefit that'll help pay for some of her long-term care needs. And that premium will be $6,200, $6,482 per year. So obviously these numbers will change, but again, we use actual numbers with these actual case studies. So that gives you an idea. For $6,000 a year, she can tap into, at age 80, $250,000 worth of long-term care insurance coverage. So when the clients say, yes, this is too expensive for me, I can't afford it, you can look at this and say, okay, what is the return on that investment? And if you look at a policy like this, the return on that investment is, number one, the financial return. Number two, her estate planning goals, that money going to the charity that she worked with, is going to be maximized because she had a traditional long-term care insurance policy in place. Now, let's look at a different option. Maybe she doesn't want to spend the $6,000 a year, but she still wants to do something. And so we look at short-term care insurance as well. So remember, this isn't going to be for as long or as much. So it's going to be shorter term, up to a year. Well, she'll get $300 a day if she's in the facility, $1,200 a week if she's on home health care, and then the maximum would be $108,000 for the facility or $61,000 for home health care. So that's not necessarily going to cover everything, but it's going to give a good head start for the first year, if she's in there longer, or if she is only in the facility for less than a year, it should cover a good chunk of what she needs. No elimination period on that, no inflation rider on that, so those benefits will stay the same. And then that has a premium of a much smaller amount. So that's $2,458.90 per year for that year of benefits that we're looking at there. So we talked to Patricia and we let her decide what she wants to do, what makes the most sense for her, because we talked about making sure that traditional policy complies with the state partnership. We can let her know that if you expend that $250,000 in total benefits when you're 80, we can increase the individual resource allowance to that same amount and perhaps get a state recovery protection. So even if you exhaust this traditional long-term care insurance policy and have to go on Medicaid, because it's a state partnership policy, we can also almost guarantee that you can save a lot of your resources and make sure that those do end up going to the charity of your choice, assuming you get that state protection as well. So if she decides for care at 880 and she exhausts her long-term care insurance benefits, she can accelerate. Oh, there it is. Exempting $250,000 in assets. And this is ensuring, again, her number one goal was to make sure that charitable donation is made upon her passing. So that's how a traditional policy can come increase in case Medicaid is needed after the policy is exhausted, and make sure that you have, as the attorney, helped her ensure that her number one goal in estate planning, that charitable donation, is made and that money isn't gobbled up by nursing home bills or assisted living bills or home health care bills. So that's our single female case study. Let's do a single male case study as well. We have Derek, who's 69, is single with one adult daughter who lives in another state. So we don't have a caregiver kind of in place. So he's concerned about the cost of long-term care insurance, but understands that his out-of-state daughter probably isn't going to be able to swoop in and assist him with his care, and he wants to ensure his assets to pass to her upon death. Meets with an attorney, has that same conversation that we were talking with Patricia. So here we'll do the same run. We'll run traditional long-term care insurance and short-term care insurance. Very similar. Monthly benefit, $4,500, with a total maximum of $165,000. Those same elimination periods with an inflation rider. monthly benefit around 6,000 with the total benefit of 228,000. And that premium is around 4,500 each year. So you can see the cost benefit analysis there. For the short-term care insurance, very similar. The $300 a day in a facility or $1,200 a week for home health care with the total amounts there, the elimination period, 0 days there with no inflation rider. And that comes in at $3,235. So he can choose between which one of those policies makes the most sense for him after you chat with him. And in this scenario, again, there's no right answer to any of these. We're just giving you a path forward to kind of show you what could go into that decision making. Derek decides to purchase a short-term care policy because it's cheaper, it's more affordable for him. He doesn't have a family history of longevity and feels this policy will provide adequate coverage if he's faced with chronic illness or requires surgery and needs care. And then his daughter is probably the one that's going to receive the most relief from this policy because it has a plan in place for his care if something happens immediately. Let's say Derek has a stroke and needs immediate care. Well, it gives her a year to at least put a plan in place with the short-term care insurance coverage to figure things out. And that's what's really good about a short-term care insurance policy. If you don't have family nearby and you have a year to kind of put things in place and funding for that year, and they need ongoing services beyond that, well, now we can go back to the drawing board, maybe do a crisis plan once that's completed, but it gives us time to put things in place. So we're not, he has a stroke. Let's say he goes into a long-term care facility. She has to drop her life out of state to come figure all this out. Instead, we trigger that insurance policy and we have some way to get him in a place that he needs to be and get some funding for that. So it doesn't, hopefully it softens the blow if that does happen and it gives us some time to figure out the logistics of that. So short-term care insurance can be really, really valuable for that purpose. Okay, so let's look at John and Carol. So this is probably much more common for those of you that do a lot of elder law, where people aren't coming to your office when they're in their 50s and 60s, but they're coming to your office when they're much older, so 75. So we have John and Carol, both age 75, so we call this the older couple case study. They have two adult children, and they want to ensure their estate is up to date. The couple is looking to plan for potential extended care, and they want to avoid depleting the assets they work so hard, and they want to pass that on to their children. Very common scenario. And John and Carol worry about the cost of long-term care insurance, and they meet with their attorney to talk about what can we do to make sure that we are planning for long-term care. So because of their age, we'll just look at short-term care insurance here. We don't think they'd qualify or the price would be exorbitant because of their age. We still have short-term care insurance in our back pocket. So we recommend short-term care insurance, and these benefits are for each of them individually. So with the short-term care insurance, we have $200 a day in a facility, $1,200 a week, total maximum benefits you can see there, no elimination period, no inflation rider. And then the benefits would stay the same because there is no inflation rider. And then for both of them to get that, it's $8,000 a year, around $8,000 a year. This gives them an option to have something in place, again, to buy some time to figure out the plan, maybe do some crisis Medicaid planning. But in the immediate aftermath of a need, we have a funding source that can come into play. And again, they were 75. So even at 75, we can provide some value to them to get some insurance in place for a price that has a good return on that investment of around $8,000 a year for both of them. So even if they're outside of that sweet spot of 50 to 64, we still have options available to them that are ridiculously priced. We still have a reasonable price here for the benefit that they would be getting back for the short-term care insurance once that's triggered. So again, all hope is not lost. If the clients have waited until 75 to think about these issues, we can still provide some value to them when we're looking at short-term care insurance. So the case for that was it's more affordable. Running any sort of traditional policy here would be outside of their price range. John has noticed a few minor changes in his health, recognizes health could decline, and he wants to make sure that there's some money and some services left for Carol. and they're excited that there was an affordable option available to them, even at 75, to protect them from the cost of extended care. So provided, again, an option for them, whereas they might have not known about short-term care insurance and just gone on without it had they not talked to you, that now you know about short-term care insurance. Okay, so let's look at a different fact pattern. This is Danielle and Julie. Danielle and Julie are in their second marriages. So this is a second marriage scenario a little bit later in life. We have Daniel, who's 65, and Julie, who's 58. They both have two adult children from previous marriages. So they have different beneficiaries is what we're getting at here. So because of that, we have a complicated estate plan. They want to make sure that all four of their children are included equally in their will and trust arrangements. So they don't want everything to go to one of the spouses and then the other kids get shut out. So they want to make sure that everybody's provided for. Daniel has seen a friend's family experience the complications of caregiving, and he wants to make sure Julie and their children will be protected if he needs long-term care. He's a little bit older, so this is much more front of mind for Daniel. He wants to make sure that he has some plan in place. So this is where we'd want to pull maybe a hybrid quote in this scenario. So let's look at traditional. We've already kind of looked at traditional, and these numbers will look very similar. We have a joint policy here where they're purchasing it together. Some carriers do offer that. Not all carriers offer joint policies. So work with us or your local broker. Maybe we look at a joint policy and then an individual policy, and we can get price quotes for both of those, for both of those options. But for traditional, we have those very same numbers, $4,500 for each, with a total maximum benefit of $165 for each. Elimination periods are the same that we looked at before. Inflation rider of 3%. At age 80, for each of them, their monthly benefit is $7,000, and their total maximum benefit is about $250,000. And then their premium for the joint policy is $6,972. And again, on those traditional policies, unless we get that rider that allows for reimbursement of premium, we wouldn't have any death benefit there. But let's look at a hybrid policy, which would allow a little bit less of the monthly benefit, but it allows one of them or both of them to go on policy for 2 years. But if, let's say, Daniel goes on our scenario, so Daniel was a little bit older, let's say he's on policy for 2 years, he's on claim for 2 years, and there's still some of Julie's benefit is less. Well, Daniel can then, because it's a joint policy, go into Julie's policy and start spending some of that down as well. So these joint policies, and again, they are very specific to the carriers, and you'll have to read through the fine print to see what type would happen in this type of scenario. But maybe Daniel could use all of hers if she's doing healthy and doesn't think she'll need it down the road. So with these joint policies, there is a way to kind of maximize that benefit if Daniel needs it all before Julie would need it. So he might be able to gobble that up. And then if there's anything left, then she'd be able to use that as well. So that's what kind of with some of these acceleration of benefits, continuation of benefits on a combined policy. Again, work with an agent. They can explain exactly how each carrier handles that scenario. And we can work with Daniel and Julie to make sure we're working with the right carrier for how they want to handle that. A 90-day elimination period, 3% compound interest. And then the benefits you can see there grow as they age. But with here, what we'll do is we would pay a $100,000 single premium. So we put that policy in place with one payment. So let's say they had some liquid money that they could then just purchase this premium. But if they don't use any of those benefits, that will have a death benefit of $103,313. So that still maintains a death benefit. Should they not use the long-term care insurance benefit, there's still a death benefit there. Then if they do use some of the long-term care insurance, then that death benefit starts to decrease, and that's based on a formula that's built in to the policy. So that's the opposite of use it or lose it. There's still a benefit left. When should the second to pass away, we can name the beneficiaries. So they decide to purchase the hybrid policy because they're able to pay the premium in a lump sum, and it includes a death benefit and also has cash value associated with it because, again, those are attached to a life insurance policy. And because it's a single premium payment, they don't have to worry about those rate increases or the state approving a rate increase like you do with traditional policy. So if Daniel doesn't need care, the policy remains intact for Julie. And if neither of them need care, then that death benefit would be split amongst all the four children that they named as beneficiaries to that policy. So that's the value and the benefit of having those hybrid policies. If you don't tap into those benefits, there's still a death benefit and some cash value associated with those. Okay, we have Valerie, and this is one of the case studies that I talk to attorneys the most and really resonates because they've seen this happen with their clients. So I call this the existing life insurance policy model. So here, or case study. So here we have Valerie, who's 63. She's concerned about her long-term financial security because of her husband's recent Parkinson's diagnosis. This situation has kind of been thrown in her face. She doesn't want to have to be a burden over children if she needs extended care. So her attorney, because they're wise and knowledgeable, suggests let's look at some long-term care insurance policy options. This is where you will find, if you talk to your clients, they may have an existing whole life insurance policy in place. A lot of clients will have purchased these when their kids were younger to make sure that if anything happened to them, their kids would be taken care of. But now their kids are, let's just assume in Valerie's situation, kids are independent, they have their own jobs, they're off and running, but they kept this whole life insurance policy in place and it's worth $75,000. It has a cash value of $75,000. The reason why she bought it is no longer that important to her anymore. So what we can do is convert that over into a life insurance policy with access to death benefits for long-term care needs. So we can use the value of that to kind of give us a boost in getting a hybrid long-term care insurance policy in place. And we do that via 1035 tax-free exchange. So what we've done is we've taken a life insurance policy that Valerie didn't necessarily want to continue to pay on, and we've created value because she can tap into the value of that life insurance policy for long-term care should she need it. And if not, she still has a death benefit. The death benefit is still on that. So here, what we're looking at, because she's 63, we have a monthly benefit that's a little higher for what we were normally paying before because we had some older folks in our previous case study. So the younger you are, the more value you're going to get out of your premiums either being lower, you're getting more value for what you're paying for. So the monthly benefit here is around $5,000. Her total benefit is either 4 years or $2,500 if she's maxing that out each month. That's $250,000. 90-day elimination period with the 3% compound. So very similar to what we've seen. The monthly benefit age is at 80, goes up to over $8,000. And the total benefit pool is over $420,000 or 4 years if she's maxing that out each and every month. And then her premium, we're going to again do a single premium of $100,000. But remember, we're getting $75,000 of that cash value from the life insurance policy that was already in place. So she only has to add in another $25,000 of funds to be able to get these benefits out of an insurance policy that she might not have used. And then if she doesn't tap into her death benefit at all, she doesn't use her long-term care insurance, the death benefit on that policy is $122,000. And we've ensured that there is a long-term care rider on there of almost $25,000 of a residual death benefit that would go to her beneficiaries. And again, those nuances are very specific to the different riders and the different carriers. But we've taken what was a kind of a dead life insurance policy, and now we've used it to fund a long-term care insurance policy and took care of that need that she had with maybe a life insurance policy that she wasn't planning on using. So she's using her old life insurance contract to help fund the hybrid policy, which eliminates any taxes that might have incurred on the gains. And then this plan allows her to protect her retirement savings should she need care, because now she's using this policy instead of having to dip into her assets to allow her to leave a financial legacy for her children. And whether or not she goes on extended care, the policy's death benefits going to her family, because we have that residual guaranteed death benefit built into this policy. So she knows that this policy that she was using is either going to help her pay for long-term care or have a death benefit, or and basically have a death benefit
depending on how much of that long-term care she needs is going to go to her beneficiaries. So you've taken what she came in with, was a life insurance policy she wasn't very happy about, and solved a problem that she came in wanting to solve. So you look like the great wise attorney that's solving your client's needs by using an option that not every estate planning attorney would have thought about. Okay. For our last one, I wanted to have a situation for those estate planners that are seeing clients maybe when they're a little bit younger. So I call this one the sandwich generation case study, where we have Rob and Kristen, who are closer to my age. They're around 50. They have two children in high school, but they have parents in their 70s. So they're taking care of their kids still, but then they have their parents. So we're going to call them, they're part of the sandwich generation. I heard that at a conference once. So here we go. Since the couple is caring for their children, they're the bread is their kids and their parents, and then they're in the middle of the sandwich, I guess. So since the couple's caring for their children while also providing caregiving support for their parents, they've seen how complicated this is going to get should their parents need to go on any sort of long-term care. So they want to make sure that they're taken care of themselves should their kids find themselves in this situation. They're doing fine financially. They have done well. They have great jobs. They've done great with their investments. But they want to make sure their kids are protected should they ever need long-term care. They don't want to put their kids in the sandwich. They want to leave their kids out of the sandwich. So let's look at traditional policy. Again, very similar to what we had before with the $4,500 each. The monthly benefit grows when they're 80, and then their premium is around $5,000 a year for both. So you'll see that here we have a younger couple who's buying a joint policy. So the lower the years, the greater bang for the buck, and the lower the premium is going to be. So speaking to clients earlier about this is going to help them save money in the long run, and it'll allow their benefits to grow because they have that 3% compound over more time. We can also look at a hybrid option, again, very similar to what we've looked at before, and those will both grow. And then the premium is a little bit higher, but that comes with a death benefit of $108,000 on the death benefit that if they don't use a long-term care insurance, they're guaranteed to have that death benefit in place of $108,000, again, leaving that money for their kids. So they decide to go with the hybrid policy because it does have that death benefit. It has cash value, and they're only 50, so that cash value is going to grow quite a bit, and the premiums with a hybrid policy are locked in place, so you don't have to worry about those premiums ever going up. And this is the crazy part about long-term care insurance and about being younger is each year that somebody waits, the premiums increase dramatically. So had they waited until 55, that policy would be 12 to 15% more expensive for the life of the policy. So that's why I always recommend to estate planning attorneys that are seeing younger clients, have these conversations. They might not be thinking about it, but bring up their parents. Okay, your parents don't have a policy and they might be too old for anything but short-term care insurance. But let's talk about you to make sure that your kids aren't in the same position that you're in, being in sandwiched between taking care of the parents and taking care of your kids. Let's at least make sure that the parents, that you as the parents have insurance in place. And then they can run the risk of changing their health status, resulting in a decline of coverage. Then if they don't need it, again, there's a death benefit because it's a hybrid policy. So those are our case studies. And I hopefully my goal here was to give some illustration on actual numbers, on actual situations that come through law offices on a regular basis, so that it allows you as the attorney, again, to at least bring up these scenarios and then know that you have a partner that can work with you through these different quotes, through the underwriting process and working with us to make sure that that insurance is getting in place. And so if you don't have a local broker, when you work with us, we've been in the legal industry for 30 plus years. We're run by attorneys, so we want to make your life as easy as possible, and we'll work with you no matter how you want to do it. If you want to present the quotes to the client, that's great. If you want us to work with the client directly, that's also great. So we're here to help you. We have specialists that have been in the long-term care insurance world for decades. They're extremely smart. They're extremely sharp. They know exactly how to help you help your clients. Again, we have different policy plans. We have illustrations like this available to you. We have questionnaires you can fill out while you're working with your clients. And we can make this policy, we can make getting these policies in place for your clients as easy as possible. If you just want to get started and learn more about this, please feel free to scan that code or visit that website, krausfinancial.com/schedule. And Matt, you and I can have a conversation. We can walk through kind of how these policies work one-on-one so you feel more comfortable. Again, I want to be here to support you. Our team wants to be there on the back. And if you do have clients that are looking for some pricing, for some quotes, we're here to help you in any way that we can. We really do want you to be comfortable having these conversations with your clients. And even if you use a different brokerage, if you use a local agent, we're more than happy to provide you information on how to have these conversations and answer any questions. So with that, I will turn to the questions. If you do have a question, please put it in the box there and I will get these. I got to get them bigger so I can read them. I will review these. Let's see what we have. There we go. Okay. I cannot hear him. Hopefully that was fixed. Does the Medicaid protection for amounts received by long-term care insurance apply to short-term care insurance? Unfortunately, it does not. The way that those were written by the IRS require that they be a specific type of policy, and that is a traditional long-term care insurance policy with certain provisions built into them. And each state has adopted those provisions a little bit differently that is controlled by the Internal Revenue Code. So it does require that the long-term care insurance be a traditional policy with specific inflation riders and things like that built into it. There have to be specific specific provisions as well. But any agent will be able to help you figure out if the traditional policy is a partnership policy in your state. Again, we have folks on staff that can help you. If you have a client that maybe has a current policy and you're not sure if it's a partnership policy, we're more than happy to review that with you. Our folks can take a look at that with you and your clients to make sure that they have what they think they have. And if not, we can issue a new policy to make sure that those comply with the partnership policy rules in your state. Can you explain the connection with the Medicaid Resource Allowance? So again, we're talking about partnership policies. What was passed by Congress was basically an incentive to have people purchase traditional long-term care insurance policies. And what they said is if you purchase the right type of long-term care insurance, a partnership policy is what it's called in the industry. It's a traditional policy with the right amount of provisions in it. Then it qualifies. And what it means by qualifying is if you use that policy. So again, let's say you have a partnership policy that has $100,000 of benefits and your client goes into the nursing home, uses $100,000 of their traditional long-term care insurance partnership policy, and then they decide to apply for Medicaid. What's going to happen is their individual resource allowance will increase by $100,000. So that $100,000 increase, let's say in your state, it's $2,000 for their individual resource allowance. Their individual resource allowance is going to increase to $102,000. So that means they can keep $102,000 worth of countable assets and still qualify for Medicaid, for long-term care Medicaid. If they didn't have that traditional policy, partnership policy in place, they would only be able to keep $2,000 and still qualify. So it allows them to keep a lot more assets and still qualify for Medicaid to help pay for that nursing home bill once they've exhausted their partnership policy. Now, some states have also extended that to a state recovery. Colorado has increased the individual resource allowance and has also said, with a state recovery, we're also going to give you that same $102,000 exemption on assets before we're going to enforce our state recovery claim should they pass away and have received that much in Medicaid benefits. Let's say they only received $80,000 of Medicaid benefits and they had a $102,000 exemption from a state recovery because of a traditional partnership policy, they're not going to have a state recovery claim because their exemption for their long-term care insurance policy is larger than the benefits that they received. So it can be a great, great asset if the person does exhaust that policy and then need to go on Medicaid at that point. So that's how that works with the partnership policies. We have some resources on that in the Krauss report, as well as our attorney access platform. John asked a question that is beyond my head. He asked, how does divorce affect these policies? I would unfortunately just give the answer. It depends. I'd assume on the couple, on how those policies are written. Family law is outside of my bailiwick, and I do not have a good answer for you, John, other than the basic, it depends on the policy and the divorce proceedings and community property and separate property and all those different elements that come into it. Prenups, I'm sure, has something to do with it as well. Any other questions before I let you all go? If not, again, thank you so much. This is a topic that I am passionate about, and we will continue to have more and more content on that. Someone just asked, the PowerPoint presentation is part of the materials, as is the long-term care insurance case study guide. That's a nice guide. You can have that in your office if you want to display that. It's well-written by our team, and it is really nice. And those are all part of your, all part of the materials for this session. So again, thank you so much for attending. Please fill out the survey of other topics around long-term care insurance you'd like to hear about. I take those very seriously. It really helps me create more curriculum that's valuable to you, the attorney. And the more information I can get you, it'll help you get comfortable having these conversations with your clients. It benefits everybody. Obviously, we love writing insurance, but what we want to see is less people having to deal with crisis Medicaid, because we know that that can be very stressful. And if we have a funding source in place, short-term care insurance, long-term care insurance, traditional, hybrid, we have solutions that will help our clients outside of the Medicaid world. So again, thank you so much for attending. Please fill out the survey. Have a wonderful day. I hope you found this information helpful and beneficial for you and your clients.